Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on a Tuesday morning. Got to get that right. Tuesday morning, January 2nd, 2024. First broadcast of 2024. Hope everybody had a great New Year's celebration and is off and running with us in 2024. Well, the big discussion this morning, right off the bat, what went on Sunday, New Year's Eve, at the special city council meeting. We were there. There was a meeting called to overturn Mayor Scott Schertzer's vetoes of the pay raises, for the pay raises of the law director, the mayor, and the auditor. They were not overturned. Five members of city council showed up. You need six to overturn a veto. There was a little contretemps between Bill Collins and Mayor Schertzer that day, in which Bill Collins asked Mayor Schertzer if he had stopped at City Councilman Mike Thomas's house before he came to get him not to come so the veto would not be overturned, which in return Mayor Schertzer said he would answer that question when Bill Collins told us what happened between he and the auditor and used the term deal. What deal was made there? And at this point, Mayor Schertzer used the term shady when it came to that particular deal. Now, we found out on Sunday that the reason Mayor Schertzer had changed his mind between the interview we did on Thursday morning and the vetoes that came Thursday afternoon was because he had talked to people. He said that there was some thought given to the conversation that we had had on the air. And that's why he overturned those vetoes, or overturned those pay raises with a veto. Now, we also talked to Second Ward City Councilman Ayers Ratliff on Sunday in a special broadcast. There's a question now. The mayor also brought this up, Mayor Schertzer. Has Miranda McGinnis, the auditor, gotten legal counsel? We do not know at this particular point, but the speculation is, and it is just speculation at this point, as told to us by Ayers Ratliff, but again, speculation, he just heard it himself from somebody else, that the reason that she obtained legal counsel is that maybe she felt bullied, or I know the term bullied was used, bullied or pressured into resigning her position as auditor. We don't know if any of that's true. And also, there's a question. She's supposed to resign on the 5th, which is this week, in 3 days. There's a question on, is she going to do that? Now, at the meeting on Sunday, Bill Collins said, how am I supposed to hire an auditor for $64,000? Ayers Ratliff said he had gotten an email last week from Bill that Bill said he found an auditor. We don't know who that is. We know that it's a female, I guess. So I don't know. Phone lines are open. 740-751-4038. The only thing we know for sure right now is that the vetoes were not overturned for the mayor, the auditor, and the law director. So none of those positions got pay raises as of January the 1st. Now, the city council and the treasurer's pay raises, I still believe, according to the paperwork, that those will not take effect until 2026. So that's where we are. If we're keeping count, this is where we are at this point. Does anybody have anything to say about any of this? 740-751-4038. Are you happy the vetoes were not overturned? Are you happy the pay raises are not going to happen? Do you want to know what happened in, and again, we're calling it a deal, I guess, between Miranda McGuinness and Bill Collins. Would you like to know what happened in that meeting? Why it happened the way it happened? Again, Mayor Schertzer referred to it as shadier and shadier at this point. And again, if anybody would like to come on and tell us what happened, maybe that would put the whole thing to bed. Because I think there's been a question since December the 4th as to what happened in that meeting. And maybe if we knew what happened in that meeting, we would not have to speculate or bring it up at this point. But nobody seems to want to say what happened in that meeting. Now, why is that? And does Miranda McGuinness have legal counsel? Again, we can't confirm that, but certainly a lot of people have heard that. Second Ward City Councilman Ayers Ratliff, Mayor Schertzer, they've all heard it. We can't confirm it. But has it happened? Is she leaving on the 5th? I have no idea. Interesting times in the city. And again, if you have anything to say about this, give me a buzz. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Now, all that being said, on Sunday at the special meeting of City Council, I was able to speak with 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. She was there, and we got her thoughts as a Marion citizen, and a Marion citizen who's been involved in politics on certainly the highest level, what she thought of the meeting that happened on Sunday, and all of these other things that are going on in the city of Marion. Here's Mary Ellen Withrow from City Hall on Sunday. Scott Spears here at City Hall, New Year's Eve 2023, and we've just witnessed a special meeting that was called by Marion City Council to overturn Mayor Scott Schertzer's veto for the pay raises of law director, mayor, and auditor. Those vetoes were not overturned. Five council members showed up, so the meeting did happen. Very short meeting, maybe 11 minutes, but you need six votes to overturn a veto. That did not happen. We've spoken with Mayor Scott Schertzer, but luckily today, nobody better to have somebody who knows something about money, that's for sure, in public office. 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Mary Ellen, after viewing this meeting, what were your thoughts on it?
Well, it was certainly an interesting meeting, and my thoughts were everybody was explaining why they did. I mean, the mayor gave an excellent explanation, I thought.
Do you think the mayor was right to veto these pay raises with the financial situation the city's in?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The mayor said several times that these pay raises were personal, not about the job. They were more about the person than the job. Do you feel that could be the case here?
I think so. Yes.
There was a little contretemps in the meeting. Mayor-elect Collins made an accusation about Mayor Schertzer that he had stopped at a councilman's house to get him not to come today. Then Mayor Schertzer wanted to know about the deal between the auditor and Mayor-elect Collins. What do you make of that little contretemps that happened there?
Well, it's just it's a normal thing to do, really. That's normal for both sides.
You are a resident of the city of Marion at this point and have been around a long time and certainly in public office. Would you like to know what deal went down between the auditor and Mayor-elect Collins that sent her to the transit department?
Oh, yes, I certainly would. I think everybody should know.
Do you think there might be more to that than what we know?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
You have always believed in transparency in government. Do you think we're getting it at this point?
No, I don't think we are. I certainly hope things will open up here a little bit.
Want to talk about these fines in general very quickly. The fines are piling up here in Marion from the IRS, from Auditor McGuinness, and even hangovers from Auditor Landon. You have dealt with money on the local, state, and national level, did it for many years. Why is there such a problem in Marion? Two auditors resign in 4 years, IRS penalties, bond rating disappears. What's so hard about this?
Well, it's the fact that people were elected that shouldn't have been elected. I think everyone should pay attention to who they're voting for, because it is so important. We just need to look back and see what happened and see what's happening now to realize that we need to pay attention.
Everybody's new in a position. You were elected to your positions. You found out how to do it and do it well, obviously. Why is it such a problem here with the last two auditors?
Well, the fact that they did not ask for opinions from the people in charge, that is so important. I said I called the Attorney General, I don't know how many times, to double-check something when I was even county treasurer. And they were not checking with anything. They were trying to keep things from people in charge, which is a terrible thing to do, and then making excuses that were they were bad excuses, because you can always get a hold of people when you want to.
And we should make note here, because history is important, I think. When you came into the office of treasurer, I believe, of the state, there was an issue going on there, and national treasurer. They needed to get the person's name off the money because there was a problem there. So people have come into positions where bad things were going on. You did.
Yes.
But yet you didn't continue to do bad things, but that seems to be the case here in Marion for some reason.
Yes, I followed an embezzlement of over $1 million in the state treasurer's office. And then I followed the person that was treasurer before me, U.S. treasurer, went to prison because she wasn't paying her taxes, which is pretty ridiculous. And so, you know, there's all sorts of things to go on, but it's like I said, you need to follow the law, because that's the only way to be in office.
Final word here on New Year's Eve 2023. Are you confident right now in the city of Marion's finances and the people overseeing those finances as of December 31st?
We'll have to see what happens.
Do you have any New Year's resolutions for 2024? An easy question to end on.
No, I don't. I don't make any resolutions.
Mary Ellen, it's always a pleasure to be with you. So glad you could come today. What a pleasure.
Yes.
Nobody better to have here. 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Mary Ellen Withrow with us at the special city council meeting on Sunday, which I know a lot of people wanted us to report on. And hopefully we're doing that this morning. And if you haven't heard, the vetoes were not overturned. 5 members of city council showed up. You need 6 to overturn a veto, so it did not happen. All right. Again, phone lines are open. If you have anything to say in regard to the interview with Mayor Schertzer earlier, the interview with Mary Ellen Withrow, and hearing everything we're hearing about what's going on in the city now, the phone lines are open to you here on this station. I don't know that anybody else does that at this point in Marion, but we like to hear from you. What are your thoughts on all this stuff going on? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. You know, I think there was such a, what should we say? There was such a question of should those raises have been vetoed. People were unhappy when they thought Mayor Schertzer was not going to veto those. He did veto those. And then there was some happiness when people thought they were going to be overturned. They were not overturned. But that led to a very interesting meeting on Sunday in which they were not overturned, in which now there are more questions in regard to the deal that went on between Auditor McGinnis and Mayor Bill Collins that set up her exit from the auditor's office. Now, there is some question right now on if she's even going to leave the auditor's office on the 5th. We don't know, and maybe we should get these answers. Go ahead, caller.
The right thing happened, Scott.
Veto-wise.
Yes.
Now, a lot of people found it interesting that meeting was even called when there were not enough votes even present to overturn the veto. Not enough people, even if we don't even know how they would have all voted. What do you make of that?
I thought that it was interesting that I think was it Councilman Rollins that move to adjourn the meeting right after roll call?
Yeah, when he asked President Schneider if there were enough votes there to overturn it, and when he said no, that was pretty well it.
I found that interesting because the mere fact that they didn't attempt to vote would mean that they're, you know, there's no documentation of who was there to, you know, yeah, you had the roll call to see who showed up, but they didn't have to have that on the record that they voted to attempt to overturn the veto. I thought that was interesting that he moved immediately to adjourn it. And like you said, I also think it's interesting that, you know, before you attempt to do something like that, wouldn't you know that you have the votes? I mean, that's how the big boys do it at the federal level. You know, typically they won't even put something on the floor if they don't think. Now, not always. I mean, sometimes they do. But typically, for political reasons, you don't want to show weakness or, you know, something negative. So if you know that you don't have it, you're not going to try to push for it.
You know what's interesting about the whole thing? Pollock, Fosnaugh, and Neff called the meeting, and they were all there. And we assume calling the meeting put them in the column of, yes, we want to veto this. And Rollins had told us via a message that he was going to vote to overturn the veto. So there were four. Now, Gerritsen showed up, first ward council person, but we don't know how he would have voted. A matter of fact, in that meeting, he said at one point he didn't even know they had been vetoed. I didn't understand that, but that's, and he said he would have to check his emails, but he was there for the meeting. And then there was the accusation. We certainly know that Bill Collins and Mayor Schertzer were there. And that's where it all kind of hit the fan, and that's where I think people were confused. Because it wasn't council arguing with Mayor Schertzer. It seemed to be Bill Collins who was very unhappy with Mayor Schertzer and even accused him, or asked him, I guess we should say, however you want to take that, that he had stopped at Mike Thomas's house to try to get him to not show up to vote.
And I don't get the accusation there, or the implication that there was wrongdoing, I mean, to try to sway people ahead of time. I mean, that is politics. And it goes, I mean, this whole thing is kind of moot. The biggest question is, why are they pushing for what was an exorbitant pay increase? It was. I mean, that was exorbitant. Not only in comparison to what other municipalities pay that are of comparable size to the city of Marion, but the biggest thing is, given the financial situation in the city of Marion. So I think that any Marion politician that supported that proposal, that bill, at any point within the past, I mean, how long has Marion had a dysfunctional auditor's office? How many years, Scott?
About four.
And we have no concept of our finances. I mean, these politicians repeatedly state that. On your show, is that correct?
Yeah, you know what's interesting, though, that you bring this up? When the pay raises were voted on December 19th, I believe that I'm correct about this, the only person who voted against them was Jason Schauber. So it's kind of interesting, when the veto vote took place, that only five people showed up, and only four of which we knew were there to overturn the veto. So a lot of people changed their mind. Or at least didn't show up to vote.
Right. I mean, did they change their minds, or did they not have the ability to attend? I mean, I think Ayers Ratliff called you from Virginia. So obviously he wasn't going to be able to make it.
But interestingly enough, he said he had changed his mind in from the 19th to the 31st.
Well, I think that that's convenient. I mean, he's repeatedly stated that behind the scenes he was the one pushing for this, or was one of the ones pushing for this. I think there were multiple people, and it sounds like all of council was for the most part in agreement on it. And that's the problem, Scott. Do they not understand? I mean, they do, because they've stated it multiple times in the context of the dysfunction in the auditor's office. So how can you push for that in good conscience? You can't. You have to get a grasp of your finances, know that your financial house is in order, and then you have to say, is this justified? Is this pay increase justified? Now, they're all saying that it's justified. And there was questioning and quibbling about the amount. But the amount that was initially proposed was exorbitant. It was ridiculous. And there's no rational person that would have proposed that for the city of Marion and those politicians.
Do you find it interesting that in that meeting on Sunday, we did have five city council members there, that the person who at least went on the record or spoke out seemingly to be unhappiest with the way that came down was Mayor-elect Collins?
I mean, yes, that is. It doesn't leave a good taste in your mouth. When you run for an office, again, I go back to the, you're doing it as a service to your community. That should be at the forefront of your mind and your considerations. The compensation, especially when you run for an office and you know what the compensation is going to be. He knew that it was, what, $69,000, and that he was going to receive a $5,400 or $5,100 raise for his term. Is that right?
Right.
So you should be content with that, and you certainly shouldn't pitch a fit when you didn't see your pay go up to $110,000? Is that what it was?
I think it would have went up to 90 is what they finally decided.
But what was the original proposal?
The original was 110, but interestingly enough, and I think it was in that clip, and I know that clip's hard to hear, but when Bill Collins spoke, he said, how am I supposed to get an auditor for $64,000? Well, when we talked to Ayers later that day, he had said that Bill Collins had sent an email out earlier in the week saying that he had found an auditor. It was somebody with financial experience, and it was a female. They didn't know who it was, but there's that.
And I take umbrage with that idea as well. Not only are these people supposed to be public servants, but you're not going to make the same amount of money in government, or you shouldn't, that you would in the private sector. So it's just, it's getting out of hand with these expectations of, you know, monetary gain and compensation. I mean, you want to pay appropriately, but again, that shouldn't be the primary motivation. And if they're having a hard time recruiting people, you know, they need to get out there. There are people in this community. Now, is there a disconnect between the community and the political leadership? Yes. Is there a disconnect in other cities and the state and country? Yeah, there is. And I think that you've had multiple local politicians on there that talk about that, right, Scott? Where they say that they're not doing a good job getting out there and recruiting people for different positions. They need to focus. That needs to be one of their primary focal points.
Well, and interestingly enough, one thing begets another. We were all there for the pay raises and to find out if they were going to be overturned.
And in the midst of that, because of this contretemps between the current mayor and the former mayor, the rebuttal, and you know what? I've known Scott Schertzer for a long time. And to say in an open meeting, when he's questioned about did he go to a city council person's house, to have the response be, I will answer that question when you reveal the contents of the deal you made with the auditor, and then to find out in the interview after that he has been told, we haven't been able to confirm this, that Auditor McGinnis possibly has gotten legal counsel, that the reason she possibly has gotten legal counsel is that she felt bullied or pressured into resigning her position. And what is that deal? For a former mayor and a sitting mayor at that time to call that deal shadier and shadier is fascinating. What do you make of that?
Well, it doesn't look good to not comment on it. And I'm not saying that I know that there was anything ethically wrong with that. If there was, and you knew, you probably wouldn't want to talk about it. And that's what the appearance is. So I think, to most people, I would think that, you know, if you didn't do anything wrong, if those conversations and the tit for tat, you know, we need an auditor and you're going to be removed come hell or high water one way or the other. If you resign now, you know, then I will appoint you. Now that's the question. Is that what happened? Is it improper? If it's not improper and you know it, and then you should be willing to discuss it. So it'll be very interesting here in the next year to see how this all shakes out. And I believe I heard you say that they incurred an additional like $250,000 IRS penalty, right?
Just about.
On top of the one they received, a month ago or 2 months ago?
Yeah, the IRS is not wasting time now.
Yeah. I mean, this is a big problem. The loss of the bond rating is a huge problem. Huge problem.
Well, two big questions we've got right now that are going to have to be answered this week, because there is some ambiguity now. Is Auditor McGinnis going to resign on the 5th? We do not know. And that's in just 3 days. The other question is, Bill Collins said on Sunday, how am I supposed to get an auditor for $64,000? Well, that's the cost now. Does he have one? Did the person only want to do that if the pay raise was going to happen? Have they backed out? Does he have to find somebody new? What's going to happen with that position come January 5th in a mere 3 days?
Those are all very good questions, Scott. And it should be very interesting, and you should have a lot of content for your program.
Well, it's fascinating because we had the conversation on Friday with a lot of our listeners out there about should we be asking these questions. And we've been asking about this deal for a long time. And it is interesting that nobody has ever come on to talk about it who was involved in it. And now, as time goes on, it takes on more ripples and more ripples and more ripples.
Well, there needs to be a consensus amongst Marion leadership and the people of Marion to hold them accountable to get the financial house in order and not be seeking additional expense proposals.
And who is that person going to be, though? Who's going to get the financial house in order at this point?
Well, they have to come together. I mean, you have how many people? You have 300 city employees, and how many of those are elected officials? They have to put their petty squabbling aside. And I'm not saying that it's petty, because these are legitimate issues and of utmost importance, but they have to come together to fix the situation. And instead of pointing fingers and trying to assess blame, that needs to be put aside, because this is a very serious issue from my perspective, and I think a lot of people's perspective. And if they're going out and they're saying, talking pay raises and all this kind of stuff, I mean, that is just completely ridiculous given the state of affairs in the city of Marion. And anybody that supported that, I mean, I'll give Schauber, I at least appreciate his more reasonable amendment. I think that that was, you know, that was better, but it doesn't mean that it was good. It should have been, it should have been somebody standing up and saying, wait a minute, we lost our bond rating. We have a cash flow problem. We're assessing IRS, you know, fines and penalties every other week or whatever it is. We should not be talking about this. And again, it's, if this was several months, this whole notion of pay increases, you know, was several months old, the situation in Marion was still horrible from a financial perspective several months ago, right? I mean, we've had that auditor, you said, what, 4 years?
Yeah, two years with Landon, 2 years with McGinnis.
Yeah, and it's been bad for the duration of those 4 years. So there's no justification for those pay increases at all. And when you look and you do a comparison of what we are paying our elected officials with what other municipalities of similar size and demographics, they're already being paid comparably. It's not like they're, you know, the poor, starving politicians in Marion and everybody else of comparable size in the state are getting paid so much more. They're not. They are. If you look at the Ohio Municipal League's data, Marion's pay is already in line with what other municipalities are paying. So if it's, you know, why should we have to pay 30% more than everybody else in order to attract people? That should be a question.
Well, the question I think ultimately becomes here, because it's coming up quick, is what was this pay raise increase really all about? Why did it come down to the wire on December 31st? Why did it take a veto? Why were people so angry about it? And ultimately, here we go, what's going to happen with the auditor? Because I think, obviously, you've listened to the interview I did with Ayers on Sunday, and there were a lot of accusations there. Again, and we can't confirm any of these, but the word on the street is, as they say, is that she felt pressured, she felt bullied, and apparently other people in the auditor's office were promised things. I believe Ayers said that. There's a mess there, and who did it? Why did they do it? And what a way to start the year.
It really is. And I think as far as the feedback that they receive from the community, you know, people are hurting all over. And inflation over the past 3 years has been a serious issue. And you just have to go to the grocery store to, you know, see that and pull out your pocketbook to see that impact. And when you're going from 69, let's just say for the mayor, 69,000 to 110 as originally proposed, that's over a 59% increase. Now, average Marion resident, you know, John and Jane Doe, how much did they receive from their employer in a pay increase? Certainly not 59%, maybe 2, 3%, maybe up to 5% if they're lucky. And, you know, again, putting it in the context of the financial chaos that the city finds itself in, to try to propose a 59% increase and to try to speed it through so that it's in effect for the upcoming term, that doesn't look good.
Well, and I think the final thing I'd like to say here, and this is all about the listeners of this station, is that it is very interesting to me, because there was a big question on Friday about the mayor had come on Thursday. He said he looked like he was going to sign these pay raises. That afternoon, he vetoed them. It was a lot of, there was a lot of speculation. Why did he do that? What happened that afternoon? Well, we finally got to ask him that on Sunday, and his answer was the conversation he'd had on this station and the people's feedback. And that is very important, and that's why you ask questions, and that's why the media is always important, because hopefully that does propel people to ask questions, the citizens of Marion. And it sounds as if that is what happened Thursday, and if that is what happened, it sounds like it could have turned what would have been the signing of pay raises into a veto in the matter of 5 hours.
It's of critical importance, Scott. I mean, we are, nowadays, we're much more connected with each other, but then we're much less connected with each other. It's a very strange time to live. And local involvement, because most people aren't, they're not connected on an interpersonal level. They may be connected on a digital or electronic level to some extent, but that doesn't translate usually to awareness of your local community, even if it's digital. That's why you need people on the front lines spreading the news, spreading the message, and trying to get people to be aware. Because when they are aware, I think that they typically will make the right decisions. But we suffer from, it's very strange. We have all this access to knowledge and information, but yet we're probably more ignorant than we ever have been.
That's a good way to put it. Hey, thanks for calling.
Thanks, Scott. Have a great day.
All right. Phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. Always appreciate the phone calls. 49 minutes past the hour here. First broadcast of 2024, and what an interesting broadcast it is. January 2nd, 2024, 49 minutes past the hour. 30 degrees and mostly cloudy skies here in the Marion area. 10 minutes left, and we would love to hear from you. 740-751-4038. And remember, if the phone line's ever ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else. So give us a buzz, 740-751-4038. Were you happy the veto for the pay raises stood? Are you surprised by anything that went down on Sunday? Do you think the auditor is going to resign her position in 3 days? Should we know what happened between Bill Collins and Miranda McGinnis in what's being called this deal for her to leave that position? Do we have an auditor? If she does resign on the 5th, has an auditor been chosen by Bill Collins at this point? Did the person he have in mind, is she still willing to do the job for $64,000? Does Miranda McGinnis have legal representation at this point? All questions we don't know the answers to, but certainly questions that we're going to know the answers to, and the answers to those questions are going to be of great impact to the citizens of Marion as we go down the road. And I believe it will be city and county, because what goes on in the city affects the county. What goes on in the county affects the city. All right, phone lines are open, 51 minutes past the hour, 740-751-4038. If you've been thinking about calling in, sharing your thoughts on this whole situation, we'd love to hear from you. 740-751-4038. Give us a buzz. Well, what else is on the agenda here this morning? Well, it's a new year. You know, it was a fun new year. I had so much fun New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. It was great. You know, it was just how you would want it to be. So I hope everybody had a safe and happy new year. Finally got all the Christmas decorations down. Glad that happened. You know, I like the Christmas decorations as much as anybody, and putting them up is a lot of work, but it's fun, and you see them. But I'm telling you, this Christmas season seemed like one of the longest Christmas seasons that there had been in a long time. Now, I know a lot of people say it felt like it flew right by. You know, I don't know. I guess in a way it felt like it flew right by. But when I was taking down all those Christmas decorations yesterday, I thought, boy, these have been up a while. So nice to get all those down. And hopefully you're in that position too. Did you have your pork and sauerkraut on New Year's Day? The tradition. You know, I did not do that this year. Now, typically, I normally do that. But this year, I did not do that. Went another route on New Year's Day. Did anybody make any New Year's resolutions? Those interesting New Year's resolutions that we always talk about. I think number one is always to lose weight. Some people want to quit bad habits. I don't know. It's interesting. 53 minutes past the hour here. Do you have anything you'd like to say in the last few minutes of the show? First show of 2024. We'd love to hear from you. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. And we certainly do appreciate the people who call in. It's always interesting to get opinions from people who live in Marion. And I'll tell you, and as I've said before, you know, I don't live in the city. So hearing from people who live in the city to me is kind of interesting about, in regard and about what happened with these pay raises. I think Mayor Schertzer said it in one of the clips we played there, maybe the interview that I did with him, that he has not vetoed very many things in his 16 years. I know the Aquatic Center was one of those things. But other than that, off the top of my head, I really can't think of anything. So it's a tool he did not use very often. And to have it come down the way it all came down on Sunday was fascinating. Because apparently people on both sides were lobbying for votes to overturn or not overturn that veto. And ultimately, it came down the way it did. So, you know, here we are, January 2nd. What's going to happen this week? Because I would imagine between here and Friday, we are certainly going to find out what's going on with the auditor. Will she leave? Will she not? Does she have legal representation? Does she not? And if she has that legal representation, does that affect her moving over to the transit department? I don't know. My hope, because the invitation has been put out there to Bill Collins, to Miranda McGinnis, somebody come on and tell us what happened in this meeting. Because it's very possible nothing happened. But why has nobody told us? Because what has happened now is that a lot of people are asking questions, including the former mayor, including Mary Ellen Withrow, including Second Ward City Councilman Ayers Ratliff. Well, now people want to know. And has it led to legal representation? I don't know. And if it didn't, if there is no legal representation, why is that rumor going around? Again, we cannot verify that. There is no verification of any of this at this point, except that we're hearing it from people who work within City Hall and people who I would probably consider reliable sources on the whole. 740-751-4038. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I just wanted to say good job on the interview the other day. I got a kick out of that.
Oh, the Claxton interview.
Yes.
Now,
that was great.
Now, did we not realize this man's name was not Rufus?
I was following your lead. This was like the blind leading the blonde.
Well, you know what? The only reason I thought his name was Rufus is because when you play the clip, I thought that's what he said.
Well, you don't take... I can't speak on that. A lot of people say they can't understand me, so...
No. But you know what? Hey, for the fruitcake toss next year, it sounds like we might have some good prizes from the Claxton Bakery themselves.
That was interesting, learning the history and everything.
Wasn't that interesting? You know, I was interested myself, even though I'm not a fan, to find out that this is a bakery in Claxton, Georgia, on a city block that doesn't house a whole lot of employees, that yet has been in the family for, what, 110 years? I think that's interesting.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. So it's sometimes we don't know the rest of the story, I guess, is the point, and I'm glad we were able to
Everybody's
do that.
Everybody's probably mad at me. They're, like, really getting into... the topic, and then I call about fruitcake.
No. I think it's important to talk about fruitcake, you know, and I think it's important to talk. I think it's important to talk about everything. I kind of think of this show in the morning as a little bit of a potpourri program.
Potpourri.
Yeah.
That was always my favorite category in Jeopardy. Potpourri.
No, any New Year's resolutions? Did you decide to make one at the last minute?
Well, it's definitely a lot. Definitely not last minute. It's been a long time coming, but I'm trying to be more fiscally, financially responsible myself and tighten up, you know, here and there. So
well, that's not bad. That's not bad. Well, hopefully everything turns out okay with that.
Yeah. I hate it when people say, oh, I don't make New Year's resolutions because they don't work. They don't work if you don't try. I had to try to quit smoking, but I did.
Well, that's right. You got to put the effort in, and even if you fail, it's better to try and fail than to not try at all.
Right. Like, I mean, to the person that wants to take 100 pounds off, so what if you can't do it? But at least if you were able to take 20 or 30, you know, something's better than nothing, right?
Absolutely. Hey, happy 2024. Thanks for calling.
You too. Bye, Scott.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of a very interesting and, I hope, informative program on this first broadcast, in this first broadcast of 2024, and anything that happens will update you as time goes on. But for the first time in 2024, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
You're listening to The Talking Place. The legendary star of The Facts of Life, Charlotte Ray, Mrs. Garrett.
Yeah. Is it how much of Mrs. Garrett is in Charlotte Ray?
I'm not, you know, they made Mrs. Garrett perfect, which was ridiculous, as I wrote in the book.